Okay. Another Saturday night extravaganza. For people who have not been to one of these before, there are a few in the crowd. It was Norma Fraser, who was the Canadian representative for years for Sanchi, who lived in Nanaimo, who started the Yellow Point retreats. Always liked to have a fun retreat more than a serious retreat. So Saturday nights become kind of a gala of interesting things, some singing, some songs, a play, stories, all kinds of good stuff. So tonight there's a play. We're going to get a couple people talking. I'm sure there's going to be some singing, right?
Later.
So we're running a little late, so we're going to start right away with a short talk by Judy Shannon, who is now kind of doing the satsangs out at the ashram in Langley, local satsang. So here's Judy.
I wanted to share a poem that, it was the one poem I shared with Sanchi, and he seemed very deeply moved by this poem. This poem didn't come from me, it came through me. And then I have a couple short stories I'd like to share of the Master. God of gods, I love you more than the light in the day, more than the dewdrops on the flowers at dawn, more than the particles of sand on the beach, more than the majesty of the Himalayas, more than the stars in the universe, more than the souls on this earth, more than the endless thoughts in my mind, more than the pain and suffering throughout time, more than the waves in the sea. My heart cries for the ending of the dream, the end of separation, the end of disharmony, the end of illusion. Let me swim in the ocean of all consciousness. Help me strike up the sword of truth and mercy. Flood my soul with your love and compassion. Let the Son of God quench the thirst of our parched souls. Let the golden shower of Nam replenish our true essence. Kirpal, Baba Sawan, Santa Jayabseen, lead us into godhood. Let me die. Let thee live forever and ever. Once when I was with Master Kirpal at Sawan Ashram, he shared that we should put as much attention to our diary as to our meditation. And this is something that I have failed at throughout most of my life, but there was one time when I actually did do that, and everybody does the diary in a different way, but what I would do is part of the lunch hour and before dinner and also at night, I would spend a couple hours every day writing every thought, every word, and every deed that had happened. And when I did do that, that was when I was making the most progress on the path. Kirpal and Sanchi often said, to eat me and drink me. We live on Nam and not on the physical food that we consume. Master Kirpal told us an amazing story when we were there of a yogi who was still alive at the time. And Master said he was 500 years old, living on one grain of rice a day. He also shocked some of us, saying that we have very little understanding of the earth and the sun. He said that there are beings who actually live in the sun. We don't realize how limited our minds are, and nothing is impossible. For example, I met two sincere devotees, and they spent the night at the Suri Ashram many years after Master Kirpal left the body. They both saw Master taking large strides, walking down the path, holding his hands behind his back, the way Master often walked. When I was in New York, Sanchi appeared without his entourage. He looked at me without speaking and told me in a stern way to do Simran. I had just bought a fruit basket for my grandmother, And I brought the fruit parshad to her in a difficult part of town. When I opened up the door, her first words to me were, "You've come to see me before I leave." And then I showed her a beautiful photo of Master Kripal. She asked me if he was a good Jew, and I said yes. She kept the photo by her bedside until she passed on. The moment she left her body, I felt her spirit at the ashram at the exact time. God Kripal, God Salman, God Ajayam are the supreme fathers of the universe, and we need to rejoice that they are taking us home.
I felt inspired to share a couple stories here. Pretty well most of you know my husband, Terry Bearden, and these stories are about his mother, and I call this Master's Grace, and Terry's mom's name was Grace. So in 1980, Terry's mom met Sanji in Calgary at Mansa Singh's house and had an interview with him, and she said to Sanji, "My son believes in you, so you better take care of him, you hear?" And Sanji just broke out chuckling and laughing. It was just hilarious. And so then he gave her darshan, quite a nice, serious darshan. And then when she was about to leave, she said, "Can I shake his hand? Because I know I can feel a lot about a person if I shake their hand." So she shook Sanji's hand. And she left there very quiet. She was quiet the rest of the day, and she's usually a very outgoing, talkative lady. So Terry knew that it had an effect on her. So then 3 years later in 1983, every time Terry went to India to see Sanji, his mother would really worry about him. Like, is there going to be a war? Is the plane going to crash? Like, is there terrorists? Like, she's just beside herself. She would go and visit Terry's sisters, and she couldn't sit down to have a cup of tea. She was just so upset. She, like, couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. She was just worried until Terry landed and said he was home. So this one thing happened to her was she would pray to Jesus at night. She didn't go to church, but she was spiritual. So she would pray at night to Jesus. She said she was praying, doing her prayers. She sent us a tape of this talk. She says, "I was saying my prayers, and all of a sudden, I don't know, I was in a different place. It was really weird." She said, "It was so strange. It was like a 3D movie, only I was in it." And she said that there was red sand, and I looked up, and there was the Lord. And she said he came closer, and it was Sanji. And you and Jan were in the background, in the distance. And Sanji came closer and closer. He pointed over to Terry and me, and he kind of looked at her, and she said it was sort of like mental telepathy. He was telling me, "They're okay, they're with me. You shouldn't worry, they're all right." And I'm sure that when she prays at night, she says to God, "Take care of my loved ones," you know, and she was probably thinking, you know, of us. So she said, "I can't tell anybody this because they'll lock me up for sure. This, you know, is just so strange." You know, she said, "It was really weird." So we thought that was pretty interesting. And then about a year later, she was talking to Terry on the phone, and she said, "What is Sanji's favorite color?" And I don't know why, but Terry said blue. I think it's his favorite color, but anyway. So he says blue. So he says, "Why?" And she says, "Well, I'm going to knit him a sweater. Do they wear sweaters in India?" And Terry says, "Well, yeah, sometimes." So she knit him a beautiful blue sweater. And she sent it to us and said, "Next time you're in India, give this to Sanji." And Terry said, "Yes, okay." So Terry went to his interview, and he had a brown paper bag, and he brings out this beautiful blue sweater and says to Papu, "This is from my mom, Grace. She knit it for you." And Sanji said, "That's funny. I was just going to ask you how your mother is, how Grace is." And then Sanji says, "Heart speaks to heart." So that was very, very nice. And then Terry's mom had diabetes, and she smoked too, and she tried for years to quit smoking, and she couldn't. But in about 1984, she had this really episode where she wasn't feeling well. So she went to the hospital. They took her to the hospital, and they were taking her blood test and doing tests on her, and they said, "You better stay here overnight. We want to do more tests and make sure you're okay." And she just had this really, really strong feeling, no, I'm not going to stay overnight. I'm going home. And so she got dressed and got ready, and she said, I'm going home, phoned Terry's stepfather and said, yeah, I'm going home. And they said, are you sure that they want you to stay in the hospital? And she said, no, I'm coming home. So we had given her this little round picture of Sanchi that she kept in her purse. I didn't know that. So she was driving home, and she opened her purse to get something, and she said it was like there was a flashlight shining on her from her purse. She didn't know what it was at first, and she looked, and she saw it was the picture of Sanchi. So she went home, and she was very tired, so she went to bed, went to sleep. And she woke up, and she looked over at the clock, and it was 3 o'clock. And she looked over at her dog, Black Lab, at the side of the bed, and he was looking at the foot of the bed. So she looked over at the foot of the bed, and there's Sanchi standing at the foot of the bed, looking at her and smiling. And she said his finger's kind of crooked, like it has a little bend in it. And I don't know if you've noticed sometimes pictures of Sanchi doing that. And Terry said, yes, that's right. And so that was another wow experience. And she said it was really beautiful. He just came to see me, I guess. And then about a month later, I think, the dog died, her dog that she loved a lot. And I thought that was funny. I was thinking of that today, that the dog actually got Sanchi's darshan too. And then after that, a few months after that, Terry's mom had a massive heart attack. And Terry went to see her in the hospital. She said, yeah, the doctor said I should quit smoking, and I guess this is it. I'm going to quit smoking. But it had damaged like 80, 90% of her heart. So Terry visited with her, and he was in the room, and he said, his sister actually said, I smell something. It smells nice here. And Terry said, yeah, it does, doesn't it? Like Terry said, I didn't notice it at first. So he walks out in the hallway and he's talking to the nurses. Is somebody burning incense here? And they're like, no. And Terry said, it was the master. It was master. She hadn't left the body yet, but he came home and he was crying on the plane ride home because he knew he wouldn't see his mom again. And a couple days later, she had left the body. But her name was Grace, so I say this story is Master's Grace.
Here is where Don introduces the evening's first movie. He was so far away from the mic, and there was so much background noise. For clarity, I will read his introduction. So this first movie is a recording of the book, The Light of Kirpal. The first 13 or so chapters are question and answer sessions where an initiate who was a professional radio announcer was in India with Master, and Master invited him to ask as many questions as he wanted. It's unlike your normal question and answer session because he does follow-on questions as an interviewer would. There's parts where Master's personality comes out in ways that are very endearing and very wonderful, and the subject matter is just really wonderful.
Well, a little rest, not too much, but we got some meditation in. It takes a while to find a comfortable chair. I'm afraid I'm in that position, and I suspect others aren't. They can just sit right down, fold their legs, and get comfortable.
You want to hear that?
Well, I think just putting a pillow in back will solve the problem.
Oh, that's fine. You know, the eat yourself.
Oh, we've got a fine chair.
In that big room, you can come to like the big hall.
Master, do some people, some of your initiates, get to the stage maybe after several years when they say, I've got to take off and go someplace else?
They are not really hungry for something higher. They want only this life, not the other. That's all. They had something, we have not lived up to it, and moreover, they did not taste the sweet elixir of being in contact with the action. That is what happened. And moreover, something from the court of society. So I don't think they're sending any diary. Most of them, I don't think. That's like we never remain in contact. Most of them won't. That is why.
So it's a matter, I suppose, of not wishing to submit to the initial discipline that's required.
That is what is strictly required. I tell you, in the old days, these demonstrations or these gifts were never given to anybody at large. Only those who lived at their feet for years lived up to what they wanted. Then, when they were ready, only they were given. Nowadays, the times have changed. Who can live with anybody? So something is given, then they are asked to maintain it by self-hypnosis, regular devotion of time.
There are many, many people, of course, mostly young men, who will spend hours training and preparing themselves for athletic contests. And in a sense, this is a similar kind of training, isn't it?
More lucrative. You see, such life for profit which will never be lost.
Yeah.
Lay by treasures in heaven, you see. Moth doesn't eat. Main thing is we have to leave the body. Very common sense talk. We have to leave the body. How do you stand? What's your faith? Two things happen there. One, you have to leave the body. And you must, if you are asking where you are going, what is your further fate, is it not proper we should decide now?
But so many people these days seem to have talked themselves into the idea that there is no further fate, that there's just a bunch of nothingness that's going to assail them.
That's all right. There's one thing. It is not the sulfuric acid which is put on copper filings and that will bubble out in it. There's no consciousness there. Energy is there. Train is run by engine. No consciousness in the engine. You're conscious. But after it's a very important question, we should know what is what. As a man, that we can do. And in no other, form of creation. Now you come here, you've seen this face, you got some guide here, and you come very confidently. Yeah?
A great feeling of peace here.
Yet it's more peace there. All glory and beauty lies within you. Now you don't want to leave these outward enjoyments. Once we have some little experience of that, we won't leave that. Main thing you have to leave the body. Who you are, where you are. Where else to go? How this body works? I think very vital question, most vital, concerning our own soul.
Yeah.
And further, we should know where we are going. Because there's beyond, world beyond what it is. The Rishi prays, "Oh God, I need not return again. I pray, I should go to your home forever." So his work is to wind up all the actions. Most of them are paid off in dreams, things like that. The surety of that is polished down to the minimum possible. Whatever the reactions cannot be set aside, you'll get them passed through, but with little hand in the hand. Well, generally you find the life of an initiate. You find many changes in his life. His life, you see, according to astronomy, doesn't stand true. Those who have transcended the starry skies are those who are under the control of those who go beyond that plane. They are astronomy. That's true. Okay. Many things are omitted. Sometimes some things are delayed. Some things are minimized.
Is there something about this area near the Himalaya Mountains that makes for better meditations, or is it purely the presence of a master that would make...
Presence of master, of course, great help. Solitude also goes to help. Any atmosphere which is not poisoned to thoughts of devotee people. Even guide you to run away to the mountains, to the wilderness.
Yeah. Let's see, when Christ was driven to the wilderness, he was taken up on the mountain and said, "You can have all of this if you'll just bow down." And he said, "Get thee behind me."
Yes, yes. That happened with Guru Nanak. That happened with others too.
This temptation then actually occurs at a certain place in the inner planes.
Yes, in meditation. I need not mention, by the way, the negative power turning all this going on world. Everywhere there you see trouble nowadays. Why are this? He says, "I'm bound to do it. Of course, they should need to give it to me. Those are not good, those are not, and they must have punishment. So, you remove me from this place, as I want to. My work has been not to me to carry on.
Is the negative power an actual person?
No, that way the power is there, no personality question. That's power that is going out, that's got negative power. What is receiving, that has got Christ power, God power, must. Going into expression.
But does the negative power on the inner planes ever take the form of something that might look like a person to us?
Yes, materialize, they've got a special power. They've got a special power.
Of course, the
body is very honest judge, you see. Very honest judge. One thing is, he won't let anybody go out of his control, out of his pale. He'll give everything to him, but not to let him go out of his control.
How much will he fight to keep that from happening?
He'll fight out to the third place. Beyond that, he'll cry, "Oh, my man is gone."
He doesn't lose very many, does he?
Yes, of course, but there are many. Not, I mean, innumerable, but many, you could say.
Hopefully he'll lose us.
Yes, he'll try. He cries, not will cry, but he cries. So the goat of his control.
Do you ever feel at times that you would just like to stay here at your home at the foot of the Himalaya Mountains and not issue forth again to the bustle and hustle around Delhi and the other parts of the world?
I'm bound, you see. I'm directed what to do. I'm here. There's no question of my will, though. Even the most busy part, I'm not nonplussed.
Would you advise everybody to sell everything or give away everything they have and come and follow you?
I advise, you see, live by the set of brow, honesty. Maintain your families whom God has united you. The flowing pen of God which has brought heat together. He was. And now so more seeds to be spoken for again. Your ruling passion, your ruling attachment should be with God. All these should be wiped up. And further, man should live not for his own self, but for others. Animals do live for this. They fight for those with their horns to save their children. If man does the same, where's his spirituality? Man is the ruling power, you see. Highest in all creation. He had to just to support, I say. The younger brothers, man, animals, birds, reptiles, they're all members of the family of God. They are younger brothers.
We haven't been doing very well by them.
And this is what I say. We are, you see, we are the heads. Head of the family should look after the welfare of all. And we go and eat them. Just the common sense. I love you and eat your children. We say we love God and then all these creations. Okay. Are you well fixed up, tidy square?
Oh, we certainly are. My wife and I certainly are.
They are not.
You'll have to mark that on your chart.
That's joking. She inquired whether Bill will be sent now or in the morning. What time?
Whatever you say.
That is for you.
Well, yeah, you want to start meditating at 7:30.
If you like.
Does tea a half hour before meditation hurt the meditation?
No, little.
7 o'clock?
Don't fill up your belly.
7 o'clock sounds good, I suppose.
All right. They'll send milk there. It's better. You have it. You'll prepare yourself, your tea?
Sure.
Then, sorry. Sure. Let us send there. You want to have a sitting, you come at 7:30 in this big room.
All right.
Is it?
Fine.
Then I'll have to be at about 9. Talk, have a talk with you. 2 minutes and then go. If you would like to have a around there, you can have to say, the car will be there. So in the morning, you can have this room with you open. Big room. Okay. It's an hour or so. It's just about 9. Talk to you in the evening. You can have your time here or there, but the back or in your room. You can have one or two sittings during the day if you like. It is up to you.
So this final movie that we'll be playing, when Russell was up visiting at Chama's retreat about 6 weeks ago, we sat down and had a discussion. I have to say Russell is very accommodating. Whenever I ask him, oh, could we do this? And he goes, sure, that's okay. We were talking about meditation, and I was asking him a few questions. All my questions are edited out. And I just found that his comments were so incredibly helpful that I couldn't resist putting them together with a few pictures of Master Kripal and Sanchi. And so, thank you, Russell. I hope you don't find this in any way embarrassing. It is so inspiring for all of us.
The intoxication that Master Kripal talks about comes about because of the extreme pleasure by withdrawing into the eye center. Whatever pleasure we experience without, we get more of that by going within. And that's just the way the human body works. The eye focus is the source of our pleasure because it's the source of our attention. When our attention is fully on anything, we totally enjoy it. If it's not, we find it boring, like that. So it's the same with when we are fully involved in the meditation, either Simran or Bhajan, then this is so enjoyable. It's like it cannot be argued. It is more pleasure than anything else we can do on the physical plane. Ramakrishna said, you know, sex life with a woman, what is there in that? You get infinitely more enjoyment by going within. And he's absolutely right. That's exactly the way of it. And this we can only discover when we find out for ourselves. So this is what is waiting for us. You know, this is what we have been given if we know enough to take advantage of it and make use of it and do it. So it's for us to do. It's like Sanchi used to say all the time when he put people in meditation, don't understand it as a burden. And, you know, like a lot of us do understand it as a burden. We think, oh, I've got to do this now. I'd really rather not do this, but I got to do it. And what on earth, you know, how can we expect to have anything? Because the point is, you know, it's like there's two things to think about in connection with meditation. One is going within, actually having experience, seeing the master and being pulled up by him. And the other is getting into the eye focus, because without getting into the eye focus, the other thing cannot happen. This is our job. This is what we have to do. And we can do it. If we couldn't do it, he wouldn't have given us initiation. We think, well, I'm not getting anywhere because I haven't seen anything if we sit for a while. But the point is not, have we seen anything? The point is, are we getting closer to getting into the eye focus? And the way to do that is to put our full attention on the practices that we have been given, both the Simran and the Bhajan. And the point about getting into the eye focus is that the intoxication, the pleasure, comes not from inner experience, which is a different kind of pleasure and intoxication, but from the contracting of the attention into the eye focus, so that the more that we go into it, the more pleasure we have. And yeah, usually we begin to see light as that happens. I mean, that's how it's described in the initiation instructions. But that doesn't mean that we can count on that or that we should even think like that. You know, Master says you look into the middle of whatever you see, darkness or light, just to find out what is there. It really doesn't matter if we're seeing light or not seeing light. The point is that the job that we have is to get into the eye focus, and then the Master takes care of everything else. Master Kripal used to say, you know, have the sweet remembrance of God very, very slowly, maybe at intervals, so that the inner gaze is not disturbed. And the fact is that if instead of repeating the names, you know, one after the other, the way we often do, if we say, you know, one name and let that resonate in our minds, I have found that this helps a great deal in this, that it's like each name has a universe within itself. They're not, you know, the basic names of God contain within themselves the essence, the attributes of God. That's why they're basic names. And if we let each one sink into our consciousness as we do it, I find this to be enormously helpful. And the other thing is, you know, just to enjoy the sound current. is a quote on the bench right outside the door here, Shema's meditation retreat where we're talking, in which Sawin Singh talks about how if you hear the word, you listen to the word even for 1 minute or 10 minutes, millions of sins are wiped away. And the fact is that listening to the sound current is incredibly enjoyable if our attention is fully into it. The problem is that we forget what the benefits of meditation are. It's just that we forget it, you know. I mean, before I was initiated, I had a very powerful experience of the Master Within, which I didn't expect, was not planning on, was almost unable to deal with it. It was so incredibly powerful. And, you know, and yet, a year later, I went off the path. And for 2 years, I did not meditate, and I considered the real thing lay in outward stuff, politics and stuff like that. And then Master pulled me back to him. But the point is that even though I had had as powerful experience as one could wish, when I once told a friend of mine about this, and he said, "You had an experience like that, and then you left the path?" And when he put it that way, I felt ashamed, but I had still done it. So it's a question of forgetting. People forget this. They forget what we have been given. They forget the opportunity. They forget the reason for why we are meditating. You know, and outer things can sometimes overwhelm us. I know very well how that happens. And all I can say is that if we remember what the Master has told us, then it all comes together. Master says in the initiation instructions that if you can't get to satsang a lot, whatever, take various religious scriptures daily. And this will be a help. And there are various reasons to read the Master's writings. And I read, you know, not just Sanchi and Kripal, but Sawin Singh, Jamal Singh, Swamiji, Kabir, Nanak. And, you know, I enjoy it so much. It's such an enjoyable way to get into meditation, I think. And, you know, it becomes, what happens is, the ambrosial hour, the hour from 3 to 6, becomes the focus of the day. You know, we usually think of it as, all right, I'm on the path, so I meditate. You know, I meditate as and when I can. And then I do, you know, I earn my living, I have my relations with my family members, etc., the rest of the time. And the path is something that I do along with that. But in reality, the time spent in meditation and in preparing for it is what counts. You know, that's the point of our life. If the ambrosial hour, for example, the time from 3 to 6 a.m., is used in this way, then it becomes the focus of the day, and the rest of the day just falls into place. Betty Shiflett told me one time that she was in a place in a house with a master, and there was a toy on the table in that room. The toy was bottom heavy. That is, you tipped it over and it tipped back up again. It would not stay down. And Master was playing with that toy. You know, he was holding it down and then watching it come back up. And he said to Betty, "What do you think of this?" And Betty started to explain, "Well, it's made such a way, Master, the weight is, you know, in a scientific kind of way." And Master said, "No, no, no." He said, "It's magic." And he pushed it down and it came back up again. And it occurred to me that our days are like that toy. If we meditate, if we make full use of the hour of elixir, the ambrosial hour, and we enjoy it. You know, we enjoy the reading that we do. We enjoy sitting for meditation. It becomes, it's the main thing that we do in the course of the day. Then it's like if things come up during the day, they push us down. But the fact of the ambrosial hour that we have spent that way will bring us back up again. And we become bottom heavy in the same way. Our days become bottom heavy in that way. And that is magic. You know, that's the way it works. It's like it cannot be argued. It is more pleasure than anything else we can do on the physical plane, bar none. And this we can only discover when we find out for ourselves. So this is what is waiting for us. You know, this is what we have been given if we know enough to take advantage of it and make use of it and do it. So it's for us to do.
Thank you.